Chapter 4. I showed Elrin to the sitting room and grabbed the empty teapot to refill it, but I made a mental note to grab something stronger as well. The mayor was shaking visibly as he took a seat, and he continued to wring his hands non-stop. I stoked the flames in the grate and filled the kettle with water before placing it back over the flames, but I kept a close eye on Alyssa's father in my peripheral vision. Elrin didn't say anything, and he stared blankly out the window. His overcoat was dusted with snow, and his auburn beard was damp from melted snowflakes, so I added another log to the fire. Once the tea was ready, I poured in a hefty dose of booze before I turned to present my father-in-law with his cup. He accepted it with a tight-lipped smile, but he didn't react to the extra flavor or the temperature as he took a long sip. I took the chair opposite him, crossed my legs, and took a sip of my own beverage as I gave the older man another moment to regain his composure. Elrin took a few more sips of his tea, but after a while he placed his cup and saucer to the side and folded his hands in his lap.
"So what happened?"
I asked after the silence had lengthened.
Toria was delivering a meal to a room.
Elrin began in a slow voice as though he was still processing the information himself.
That's when she found the poor girl.
Who? I frowned, but I made a mental note to interview Toria about the scene of the crime.
Her name was Karina. Wouldn't harm a fly, that one. The sweetest girl I've ever met. Well, besides my Lissy, that is.
I hadn't met the woman before. But so many people had moved to my territory since I'd been summoned to Soriol, not even a god could keep up with them all. Still, I intended on preventing the murder from happening in the first place if I could, and then I would take some time to get to know Karina.
Karina,
I repeated in a thoughtful voice. When did this happen?
That's the thing.
Elrin took a deep, shuddering breath, and he gave me a sad shake of his head.
I'm not sure, exactly. All we know is that she is dead now, and she wasn't this morning.
We'll figure it out, Elrin. Don't worry.
Who could do such a thing to such a sweet girl?
Elrin sighed and pressed his fingers against his temples.
Bastionville used to be a small, simple town. Perhaps we should be more vigilant about who we allow inside the walls.
Growth is still good for everyone. Just because it comes with more complications doesn't mean we should lock our gates to the outside world. Zenda entered the room just then, and her robe was only slightly wrinkled from being crumpled onto the floor. Elrin inclined his head in greeting, but the observant historian narrowed her eyes as she took in his sorry state.
What's wrong, Mayor Elrin?
The Zaborian beauty asked as she took the seat on the sofa beside my father-in-law.
A young lady was murdered. I came to get Bash's assistance.
You came to the right place,
Zenda said with a curt nod.
Bash will find the responsible party.
Her confidence in me caused my chest to puff out in pride, but there were still too many unanswered questions. Memories of watching murder mystery dramas flashed through my head, and I tried to figure out what I should do first.
I need a pair of sunglasses.
What are sunglasses?
They're protective pieces of dark glass that cover your eyes. I explained, but my thoughts were already racing through my mental inventory of crime shows. I need to see the crime scene.
Torius,
Elrin said, and he lunged to his feet.
Excellent idea. Maybe your god senses will activate once you see the room where she was found.
Let me finish getting dressed, I requested as I gestured to my bare chest and haphazardly thrown on pants.
Of course, I'll wait here.
Elrin chuckled as some of the tension left his shoulders, so I trotted up the stairs to put on some warmer clothes. Zenda followed behind me, and the blue-skinned Zaborian beauty grabbed her fur-lined cloak while I finished getting dressed.
What a horrible situation. I do hope you can figure out what happened.
Don't worry. I smirked as I tugged on my griffin feather boots. I'm the god of time, remember? When I'm done, there won't even be a murder to solve.
How could that be?
A frown of concentration knitted her eyebrows.
And what did you mean earlier when you said you were going to reset?
Just God things. I winked. Come on, let's go solve a murder. We rejoined Elrin downstairs, and then the three of us darted out into the cold night air. I wondered briefly what was keeping my other women out of the house so late, but I was sure we would all meet up soon enough, since I always ended up drawing crowds whenever I walked through the streets. Every window in Toria's inn was lit up, and the front door was flung open as soldiers trotted in and out of the entrance. I spotted Ryandale and Jorgen among the men guarding the front porch, and I hailed them with a wave over my head. "Hey, what's up, Rye guy?"
"Oh, it's a terrible tragedy, really,"
the general said with a sad shake of his head.
"Thank you for coming so quickly."
"Of course," I nodded. "We'll figure it out. What have you discovered since you got here?"
"There were no signs of forced entry to the room. No one in the building heard anything, but the majority of the current occupants are working on snow removal teams, so the inn was empty most of the day."
"How's Toria holding up?" I asked as I peered inside the doorway.
"As good as she can be," Jorgen interjected. "I got her some tea."
"Thanks. All right, shall we?" I followed the two soldiers inside the inn, but it was so crowded with guards that I could hardly enter the common room. First things first, I needed total control over the crime scene. The men had done a fine job of securing the area, but now they were doing more harm than good.
"All right, I got it from here. Get back to your positions."
The men began to file out of the common room, but most of them paused to snap a salute before they left. Ryandale gave me a tight-lipped smile before he and Jorgen followed his men out into the cold, and I bobbed my head. Once the common room was empty of everyone except Elrin, Zenda, and myself, I finally spotted Toria sitting in an armchair beside the fireplace. Her hair hung loose and unkempt down her back, and she clutched a fuzzy robe about herself as she rocked back and forth. I'd never seen her so upset. "Toria," I knelt down in front of the older woman and took her hands in mine. "I'm so sorry."
"My bad."
Toria flung herself into my arms, and her entire body shook as sobs rocked through her.
"Oh, there, there,"
I comforted as I awkwardly patted her back.
"Let it out."
I let the older woman release all her emotions onto my cloak for a while, but once her sobs subsided, I pressed her back into her chair. Then I tucked her loose hair behind her ears and gave her an encouraging smile.
"Oh, thank you, Bash."
Toria smiled through her tears, and she sniffed sadly.
"Anytime."
I jerked my chin toward the stairs that led up to the rooms. "Can you tell me what happened?"
"Well, I was taking the dinner trays to the rooms that requested service. I knocked, and there was no response, so I figured they hadn't returned yet."
"And so you went inside?"
Toria nodded.
"I put the tray on the table, but then I noticed the room was a mess."
A mess how?"
I frowned. Every single detail could be important, and I hoped they hadn't moved or touched anything yet. Toria shook her head, and her eyes were full of tears.
"There was blood. And chairs knocked over, and there were ashes scattered everywhere."
"All right, so what happened next?"
"That's when I noticed there was someone in the bed. I was frustrated with the state of the room, so I went to rouse them." "Oh, no,"
Zenda said as she followed the thought to its end.
"The victim was in the bed."
Toria nodded before another round of sobs seized her, and she collapsed against my shoulder again. I comforted her for a little while longer, but then I held her at arm's length and gave her a stern look. "Toria, you are a strong, independent woman. You have been taking care of this entire town since before I showed up, and people are looking for you to be a pillar of strength."
"Thank you, Bash. I'm sorry."
Toria sniffed and wiped her nose with the back of her hand. "It's all right. Just take a moment to compose yourself while I go upstairs and take a look around." I inclined my head toward Zenda. "My friend here is going to make you something warm to drink, and everything will be just fine, okay?"
brush you off as sweet.
Toria blubbered, but she took a few deep breaths, and she seemed to regain some of her composure already. That's more like it. I squeezed her arms warmly and gave her a bright smile. Then I rose to my feet and turned to Zenda, but the historian was one step ahead of me, and she had a kettle in her hands already.
She's in good hands, Bash. Go.
I nodded and headed upstairs without another word, and I scanned over everything as I passed by. There was no telling what innocuous detail would make the difference in solving the crime, so I paid attention to all of it. The steps creaked in a few places, and the rails had a light layer of dust riddled with fingerprints. This wasn't Earth with its modern crime-fighting chemistry, though, so the fingerprints were all but useless to me. Besides, the stairwell of Toria's inn probably saw a lot of traffic throughout the day. But the killer could be one of the other residents, so I needed to interview them all. It was going to be a long night. There was a door hanging ajar on the second floor, so that was the first one I went to. Inside was dark, so I summoned a flame to my palm and held it aloft. It was just as Toria had described it. Chairs laid on their sides, ashes covered the floor, and a spray of blood stained the corner of the fireplace. Then my eyes leapt to the bed, and a flowing mane of copper hair covered the pillow. The blanket was pulled up to the victim's shoulders, and she laid facing the wall. I crossed the room to the bed, and I leaned over to see into her blank, unseeing eyes. It was creepy as fuck. I'd killed a lot of people since I'd arrived in Sorial, but this was the first time I'd encountered a body already stiff with rigor mortis. Plus, it was just an innocent young woman who couldn't possibly have done anything to deserve her life ending like this. Or so it might have seemed at first glance. There was always more to every story, and I was determined to uncover the truth before I reset to save her life. I gently pulled back the blankets to get a better look at the rest of her body, but so far, I still hadn't spotted the fatal wound. Something about her seemed really familiar, but it took me a moment to figure it out. Then I realized I'd seen her in the tavern before I'd met up with Zenda. She was alive and well moments before my last save point, and I let out a breath in relief before I continued my inspection. She wore a full dress with a pocketed apron, and the compartments were filled with seeds, flower petals, and other gardening supplies. What was Karina's occupation, and why was she fully clothed in bed? The killer could have placed her there after the fact, and the blood stain near the fireplace indicated the crime had actually taken place on the other side of the room. The fact that she was moved at all spoke volumes about the nature of the crime, and I didn't think it was premeditated at all. There were still too many unanswered questions, though. Karina had apparently moved to Bastionville a while ago, since Elrin knew her enough to say she was sweet. So why was she in the inn? I shook my head to clear my racing thoughts, and I refocused on gathering evidence. I gently rolled Karina onto her back, but when her head flopped to the side, I saw blood had congealed to the back of her neck. I explored the area gingerly with fingertips, and I realized her hair was drenched in dried blood, so I pushed her back onto her side. After lifting her hair up to look underneath, I spotted the wide, bloody gash on the back of her skull. The edges were ragged, not smooth, like they would have been if it had been caused by a sword, so I glanced around the room in search of something that could have been used as a weapon. The candle holders were all too wide to be gripped efficiently enough to wield with fatal impact, and they looked like they hadn't been moved. The chairs were too square-edged to cause a vertical gash, and the dishes on the table were placed there by Toria after the murder had already taken place. Well, the murder weapon could have been taken away by the killer, though, so I would just have to keep looking. What happened to you, Karina? I asked the dead girl, without expecting a response. Dead people couldn't answer questions about their own murders. But the thought did give me an idea. I could reset back to a point in time when she was still alive, and I could talk to her myself to see who would want to hurt her. First, I needed the list of occupants so I could memorize it before I reset. Then I would already know everyone I needed to talk to, and I could start my interview process while I still had daylight on my side. My study session with Zenda would just have to wait a little bit longer, since once I had the murder solved, I could give her my full attention again. And we could have another round of celebratory sex. I took one last look around the sad scene before I returned to the lower level to speak with Toria, and I found her sipping a steaming cup of tea right where I'd left her. I'm going to need your registration list, and a list of any employees working at the time.
Of course, Bash.
Toria sniffed, but she seemed to be in much better shape than when I'd gone upstairs.
They're all behind the counter over there.
Thanks. I gave her and Zenda a grateful smile. I found the ledgers and turned to the relevant page, and I scanned over the list of names, but, well, I wasn't familiar with any of them, except Karina's. It still didn't make sense why she would have rented the room when she had a house of her own. But I'd have all the answers soon enough. The rest of the names were practically meaningless to me, but that wasn't a surprise, since the occupants of the inn would be travelers and visitors from distant places. And I tucked the information away for later use. Once I had all the information I could gather from Toria's paperwork, I went and performed another sweep of the room, but I didn't see anything new, so I went ahead and reset to my save point with a wave of my willpower.
Ding!
My extremities tingled as the familiar sensation washed over me, but then I was standing in Stryker's tavern again with Zenda seated at a table a few feet away. I'd been about to request some time with her to study the books I'd borrowed from the Grand Occulta Athenium, but instead I turned to scan over the common room. The room was bustling with activity as the townsfolk ate lunch and visited with each other, but then my eyes fell on familiar-looking copper hair, and I inhaled sharply. Karina. The very alive florist sat at a table not too far away from where Zenda was scribbling her notes, but I didn't recognize the other woman sitting across from her. The strange woman had short, cropped, dark hair, and her hazel eyes were full of emotion as she leaned toward Karina and reached for her hand. Curiouser and curiouser. At least I knew I had a save point where she was still alive, so all I needed to do now was keep her that way. If I followed the future victim, I could prevent the murder from happening in the first place, so I decided to watch to see what happened next. Zenda spotted me as I moved to the last empty seat at the bar, and she tilted her head as a curious look crossed her face, but I merely winked in her direction before turning to order a drink.
You didn't say hello,
the historian said bluntly as she suddenly appeared at my elbow.
Have I displeased you?
Oh, I'm on a covert operation. I'd be too tempted to stare at your beautiful face instead of watching my target.
Interesting.
Zenda narrowed her eyes and cast a glance around the room.
Who are we watching?
I chuckled to myself as I stood to give her the bar stool, and Stryker slid a cold mug of ale into my hands an instant later. Zenda waited patiently while I took a long, slow sip, but I could see the curiosity in her sapphire eyes. This was a girl who would love binge-watching murder mysteries. Well, there's going to be a murder if I don't stop it, I said at last. Zenda's eyes widened, but she quickly regained her composure and pulled on a neutral expression.
How can I help?
Watch and wait, I grinned. It's not going to be the most fascinating thing at first, but with some patience, we could see some first-class drama unfold.
All right.
Zenda nodded curtly, signaled for a drink, and settled into her seat. I was happy to have the company during my quest to prevent the florist's murder, especially someone as beautiful and as intelligent as the Zaborian historian. I kept Karina and her companion in my peripheral vision, though, and it looked like they were arguing over something. A short-haired woman grew more and more animated with each passing moment, and she yanked her hand away from Karina when the copper-haired young woman reached out to comfort her. A spat turned violent? The dark-haired woman was tiny, though, and I wasn't sure she had the physical strength it would have taken to land a fatal hit. But there wasn't enough information to make assumptions yet, so I tucked my thoughts away with the rest of the observations I'd made so far. I glanced around the room to gauge the rest of the occupants, but everyone seemed blissfully unaware of the danger one of the customers was in. Then I suddenly spotted a man standing in the shadows of the corner who looked less than pleased, and his gaze was locked on Karina. The man stood too far inside the dimly lit section of the common room for me to make out much of his features, but he was certainly tall and muscular enough to have physically overpowered Karina. Had I found my murderer? I wanted to get a better look, but I didn't want to draw any attention to myself. It would already be hard enough to remain inconspicuous while in my own town, but so far no one had noticed me hanging out at the bar with Zenda. I kept the hood of my cloak pulled up, just in case, though, and I kept my eyes peeled for any signs of movement from my targets. The conversation between Karina and the strange woman continued to escalate until their voices rose loud enough for me to hear.
"Oh, you're just like everyone else,"
the dark-haired woman said.
"Forget it! No, I'm sorry, don't go,"
Karina said. The dark-haired woman leapt from her chair and strode toward the door, and I noticed the man in the corner tense, but Karina reached out and grabbed her arm. I had to strain my ears to hear what she said next, but my heart was already thudding with excitement.
"Please, let me help you,"
Karina begged. The dark-haired woman paused, but then she nodded and sat back down. Oh, something fishy was going on, and I was going to get to the bottom of it. The two women resumed their conversation, but they were speaking too low for me to hear again, so I kept my attention on the man in the corner.
"Sounds like things are getting heated."
"Yes, it does. I believe our killer is actually someone in this very room."
Fascinating.
Zenda's sapphire eyes twinkled with intrigue.
"Maybe the gentleman in the corner who keeps staring at the women?"
"Oh, you noticed him too, huh? Smart girl." Zenda opened her mouth to speak, but then her eyes jumped to the entrance, and I followed her gaze to see Karina and the dark-haired woman leaving the tavern. "All right, let's go," I said, and I threw back the remainder of my ale before following the future murder victim out of Stryker's Tavern. Zenda was a step behind me, but I noticed the dark-haired man in the corner moved toward the entrance at the same time, so I motioned for her to wait until he left ahead of us. We exchanged a glance before following behind him, and I braced myself against the onslaught of cold air waiting outside the door. I had to squint into the flurries of snowflakes tumbling through the air before I could see anything in the white world. But then I spotted the two women heading toward Toria's Inn, with the dark-haired man trailing a good distance behind them. They were on their way to the scene of the crime, and we had the chance to catch the killer literally red-handed, so I hurried my footsteps. I didn't want to get too close to them, though, since I was still trying to remain incognito. Zenda would have stuck out like a sore thumb, if she wasn't wearing her heavy cloak and hood, and I sent a silent thank you to the cold weather for helping with our cover. The streets were still fairly busy, considering how cold it was, but everyone was bundled up in warm clothes as they moved from shop to shop. No one paid any attention to the two women making their way to the inn, or the man who casually strolled along in the same direction. I paused a few shops down from Toria's Inn, and I waited for my targets to enter the building before I strode up the steps to the entrance.
"Oh, Bash!"
Toria greeted me from behind the counter as soon as I entered the inn.
"What pleasant surprise. What can I do for you today?"
Hi, Toria," I said as my eyes danced around the room in search of my targets, but I didn't see any of the three people I'd followed. A couple of young women just came in and rented a room?"
"Yes."
Toria's eyes widened in surprise, but then she giggled.
"Oh, Bash, you did it again."
"Yeah, while I adored Toria, I didn't have time to chit-chat while a murder was possibly happening upstairs, so I gave her a tight-lipped smile and gestured to the ledgers. Why did Karina rent a room here, if she has a house?"
"Oh, she said it was for the other lady with her, but she was paying for it, so she put it in her name."
Toria frowned.
"Why?"
Karina got her a room," I repeated as I scratched my jaw. The dark-haired lady could be in some kind of trouble, possibly from the man following them with the sour expression, but I didn't know what happened to her after Karina was killed. I was going to find out exactly what occurred in the upstairs room, and then I could go back to taking Zenda's virginity, like I wanted to. Well, when the options were murder or sex, I'd always prefer the latter, but my town needed me, so duty called. I waited a few more minutes, but then I heard a scuffling sound above me, and I immediately darted up the stairs. Zenda was a step behind me, and I marveled at her speed, but my heart pounded against my ribcage. What if I was already too late? I paused for an instant with my hand hovering over the doorknob, but then I took a deep breath and burst into the room. Karina and the dark-haired man were grappling, and they knocked over a chair in their struggle.
Stop it!
The short-haired woman sobbed from beside the fireplace, and she gripped the iron poker in a white-knuckled fist.
Stop it, both of you!
What's going on? I yelled, and all eyes turned to me. Karina took the opportunity to kick into the man's insole, and he yelped as he released her from his grip. The copper-haired florist darted toward me in the doorway I stood in, but I grabbed her around the waist to prevent her from escaping. Just because she'd been the victim didn't mean she was entirely innocent. Stop it! I tossed Karina back into the room, and she scuttled back away from me. Somebody? Tell me what the fuck is going on before I end up killing someone myself! The color drained from their faces, and a wild look entered Karina's eyes. She looked like a caged animal, and my heart hurt for her, but at least she was still alive. The dark-haired woman dropped the poker with a loud clang, and I realized I'd found my murder weapon. Someone start talking. I crossed my arms over my chest.
This man attacked me!
Karina said as she pointed her fingers at the dark-haired man.
He accused me of stealing from him, but I've never met him before in my life.
You attacked me!
The man argued.
Please! Please stop fighting!
I rubbed a finger against my temple as I took a deep breath. We weren't getting anywhere fast, but I needed to know who the killer was before I arrested an innocent person. Technically, no crime had even been committed yet, but I wasn't going to be satisfied until Bastionville was safe. What's your name? I asked the dark-haired woman.
Anna.
Don't talk to her!
Calm down, dude. What the fuck? I shot the asshole a glare. It'll be your turn to talk next, okay? He fell silent, and the sour expression on his face didn't fade, but I ignored him as I nodded for Unla to continue. How do you fit into this? I pressed. How do you know these people?
I...
Unla shot an anxious look at the man.
He's my brother.
After she said that, I noticed the resemblances between the pair, but that still didn't explain what any of them were doing there. How do you know Karina?
Wait, how do you know my name?
I learned it when I was investigating your murder, I said as my eyes found hers. If I don't stop it, it happens in this very room. Karina blanched, and her eyes leapt to the doorway as though she was going to try to make a break for it, but I stepped ever so slightly into her vision. Don't even think about it. You're not going to get killed while I'm here, but if you don't start explaining yourselves, then all three of you will go to the jailhouse.
Anna asked me for help,
Karina said, and she shot a glare at the dark-haired woman.
I offered to pay for a room for her and her brother for a few days until they found some work.
Did you already know each other before she asked for your help?
We'd met a few times at the market recently. We had lunch together once. I thought we were friends, so of course I offered to help.
All right, that's nice of you. What went wrong? Unla started to speak, but then fell silent. Talk?
It's complicated.
The dark-haired woman sighed, and she shot an apologetic glance at Karina.
I didn't mean to get carried away. I'm sorry.
Wait, carried away how?
She kissed me.
Karina confessed, and the color returned to her face in a bright red flash.
You kiss back!
How dare you touch my sister!
Unla's brother roared, and he charged toward Karina again.
I stomped my griffin feather boots and I slammed into his chest an instant later, but we both tumbled over the table in a loud crash.
Ow! If you move again,
I hissed through clenched teeth as I pushed myself to my feet,
I will not hesitate to kill you.
The man swallowed hard, but I offered my hand and he pulled himself to his feet. Then I turned back to the two women and I crossed my arms over my chest.
So, you kissed.
I nodded for them to continue.
Then what?
Oster charged and tried to break us up,
Unla said, and her eyes filled with fear.
He didn't mean anything by it, Great One. He was just trying to protect me.
Were you in need of saving? I arched one eyebrow.
No.
Unla shook her head sadly.
I was about to help my brother when you burst in.
What were you going to do with the fireplace, Poker? I asked. Unla's eyes widened, and then she darted toward the door in an attempt to escape, but she wasn't fast enough to avoid Zenda's extended foot. The dark-haired woman tripped and flew across the floor, and she slammed into the doorframe with her shoulder.
Oof!
Well, that was going to leave a mark. I had a good idea about what happened here, so I took a deep breath. Now I just needed to decide how to handle the situation, and then I could reset back to my save point. It seemed like this had started out as a misunderstanding, but charged emotions had led to a crime of passion. Well, easy enough to fix. I'd already managed to save Karina's life, but I wasn't entirely satisfied with the results. I wanted 100% completion, and that meant knowing everything before it even happened in the first place.
Ding!
I walked toward where Zenda sat in Stryker's tavern, but I cast a quick glance over at Karina and Unla's table before I sat down. They were still embroiled in their discussion, and I knew it would be a while before they made their way over to the inn, so I cleared my throat to get Zenda's attention. I have a plan, and I'd like you to help me with it.
Of course.
Zenda smiled brightly.
How can I help?
Oh, we're going to prevent a murder from happening, I said, as I stood up and pulled her to her feet. Come with me. I led Zenda over to where Karina and Unla sat at the nearby table, and I pulled out a chair for the blue-skinned goddess before I took one myself. The two women blinked at us in surprise, but I ignored them and scanned the room for Uster. His eyebrows rose in shock when I made eye contact and gestured for him to join us, and he looked from side to side, as though confirming I was talking to him. Then Uster approached the table with obvious trepidation, and Unla narrowed her eyes when she noticed him.
What are you doing here? Who is this man?
Karina frowned.
What's going on?
Do you know who I am, Karina? I asked. The copper-haired florist swallowed hard before she nodded.
You're the god of time.
Yeah, this is Zenda, I said, as I indicated the blue-skinned beauty by my side. But then I gestured to the dark-haired man hovering over our table. And this is Unla's brother, Uster. He's been trailing you because he thinks you're a danger to his sister.
I couldn't hurt a fly,
Karina argued as she shot Uster an incredulous glance.
I was just trying to help.
Unla is attracted to you, and that bothers her brother. How do you feel about Unla, though? The dark-haired woman sitting beside me inhaled sharply, and her cheeks flushed a crimson hue.
What is he talking about, Unla?
Uster demanded. Calm down and have a seat, dude, I said, and I kicked the bottom of the chair legs opposite me under the table. I'm here to stop you two from murdering Karina here in a fit of passion. Sit down, shut up, and maybe you'll avoid going to jail for the rest of your life. The dark-haired man reluctantly sat down, and he crossed his arms over his chest as he glared around at everyone at the table. Zenda flashed me a curious look, but Karina and Unla only had eyes for each other. There was a silent conversation happening between them, and I chuckled to myself. All right, I take it you feel the same way as Unla does, I said to Karina. There's nothing wrong with that. Love is love.
Bullshit! Uster spat. No sister of mine! That's enough!
I snapped, and I slammed my hand on the table to emphasize my words. Everyone at the table jumped, and the tavern grew quiet for a moment.
So I waited for the din of conversations to resume before I continued.
This is my town,
and I won't tolerate homophobic assholes around here. What's your trade, Uther? Why are you in Bastionville in the first place?
We're musicians,
Unla answered for her brother.
Well, yeah, there were always parties in Bastionville where players can earn a fair wage and tips.
Well, the rumors are true, but it seems you two fell on hard times. Why didn't you go to Elrin or anyone else on the Elder Council?
Oh, well, it's embarrassing,
Unla said as she cast her hazel eyes at the table.
I didn't want
you to get taken advantage of, her brother interjected. Pretty girls like you get hurt when they ask the wrong people for help. I told you we could handle things on our own.
Oster, it's winter now.
Unla shook her head.
We can't keep sleeping in the stables.
Well, no one is sleeping in the stables in my town, I said in a hard voice. Leave Karina and Unla be, and I'll help you two get back on your feet. No one has to die today.
Die?
Karina swallowed hard, and her terrified eyes flicked between the siblings.
You two are going to kill me. I would never.
Unla insisted, but she looked hesitant as her eyes skipped to her brother. I wasn't about to let it happen in the first place. The God of Time is in charge around here, so things will happen how I decide. But you both have to come with me to get work assignments and lodgings. Karina, your generosity will not go unnoticed. And I'll put you in charge of pointing anyone else in need of aid in the right direction.
I can handle that, Your Grace,
Karina said with a dip of her head.
Thank you for saving my life.
No, you're absolutely welcome, I said, and I gave the very alive florist a wide grin. Don't go running off to hotel rooms with women you barely know, okay?
I promise.
I spent some time making sure Unla and Uther were taken care of, and I went ahead and checked around for any more homeless people. I found a couple of beggars in the market square, and I sent them to Toria's Inn with some gold coins to pay for their rooms. Now, whether or not they spent the money at the tavern or the inn was in their hands at that point, but it made me feel a little better to know I'd helped. I'd have to leave instructions with the Elder Council to watch out for further homelessness. But it was just another consequence of our growing population. Karina was hesitant to leave my side, even after Unla and Uther were situated, but I assured her I would visit her greenhouse often to make sure she was still okay. The almost near-death experience had to be a little jarring, but I was confident she'd bounce back sooner rather than later. The red-haired florist was a tough cookie. Once everything was taken care of, Zenda and I returned to my house to pick up where I left off in my previous run-through. This time would be an even better first time for her, though, and I vowed to make her scream my name to the ceiling before we saw daylight again.
Bash,
Zenda said in a shy voice as we approached the front door.
What you did today was incredible. You're so powerful and wise, I think I'm ready.
I grinned and made a new save point as my cock instantly hardened. It was good to be a god.